It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. Here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla, a guy who did not just get reinstated to the ballot in Colorado, courtesy of the Supreme Court. No, ma'am. Donald Trump, according to a SCOTUS ruling, will be allowed to remain on the ballot. And as you'd imagine, a lot of people on the left are very upset.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Are they ever? Because all the folks who told you democracy is on the ballot in 2024 are now upset that they can't remove their political opponent from the ballot. Straight clown stuff. 888-788-9910 if you want to have this discussion or several of the other discussions we're going to be having today on the show. It's a big Monday. The deck is sort of stacked. I think they believed I was going to return from the first two stops on my stand-up tour a big drunken mess.
Wrong.
Okay, they were wrong. I mean, but you couldn't fault them for believing that. Anybody who pays attention to me over the years, you know, knows the champ isn't exactly throwing a perfect game out there on the road.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life,
well, it's been a great way to go through my career. But today, we're ready to rumble. 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of this thing. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, you could be a Libertarian, you could be an Independent. Doesn't matter, dude. You could be a furry. We don't care. Yeah, just don't. That's funny. Just don't identify as the White House dog, because that guy's a little bit of a mess. But getting past that, you know the rules. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a. There it is. Happy Monday. And I'm going to cut right to the chase. But before I do, everybody who came out to Idaho Falls Friday night, Colonial Theater, everybody who came to the Crest Theater Saturday night in Sacramento, I say this to you really quickly. Nice round of applause. Certainly gave me a tremendous ovation on your end. It really means a lot. It is so cool to get out there because I haven't been on the road in a couple of months. It's so cool to get back out there with the Fox Across America fans, you know, the people who pay attention day in and day out and, you know things about my kid or my wife or my friends and everything in between. Two just really like knockout events. They were great. I mean, massive crowds. The meet and greets were outrageous. Everybody was funny. A lot of people dressed like me. One dude, great guy, you know who you are, was actually wearing a fat, drunken, stupid shirt with my picture on it based on the drop I play on this show. I got to meet Fozzie the Cat. I hung out with the whole KID crew. Even Joe Lynn. It got rowdy. The Bear World Posse was in the house in Idaho Falls. It really was nuts. So if you showed up again, one more. Friday night this week, I will be at the Amaturo Theater in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. If you're in the hood, come on down. Saturday, we added a second show in Ponte Vedra. The first show sold out pretty quickly, so we added one more show early because I got to fly back Sunday morning. So you can still get, there's a handful of tickets left to the 5 p.m. show this Saturday in Ponte Vedra. That being said, we got a little radio work to do in the meantime, so let's make a quick move and get to the adult stuff. So a unanimous vote from the Supreme Court. Donald Trump is expected to speak in this hour at Mar-a-Lago. We will attempt to take it live if it overlaps with our on-air schedule. We don't know how long he's going to be out there. But Trump does have a tendency to speak, like he'll talk to you for 20 minutes, 40 minutes. You know, Biden's getting out there with a note card. And he's still getting things wrong.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
It is a mess, okay? Biden, and I'll play you the clip really quickly. This is all the politics I saw this weekend. You know, I was doing TV. I was doing stand-up. Michael was on the Fox News Saturday night, a frequent caller to this show. He sent in an Ask a Cabbie question. It was very funny. Everybody got a laugh out of Michael. Jenny Failla made a cameo. I had a busy weekend. This is the only politics I saw. It was Biden going out to talk about the aid we're delivering to Gaza, okay? And two times, as he's reading off a note card, he calls Gaza Ukraine.
Get him out of here.
Get him out.
Here it is, really quickly, clip one.
In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others in providing airdrops of additional food and supplies into Ukraine and seek to continue to open up other avenues into Ukraine, including the possibility of a Marine corridor to deliver large amounts of humanitarian assistance.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
So he refers to, man, food supplies into Ukraine and seek to continue to open up other avenues in Ukraine. Guys, he's doing this off a note card.
This man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
So as Trump gets ready to speak about the fact that the court's allowing him to remain on the ballot, I mean, the one contrast you'll notice is Trump's pretty robust. Okay, yes, he throws wild pitches rhetorically. And yes, I've seen him get things wrong on the stump lately. Let's never forget how much time he spent referring to Nikki Haley as Nancy Pelosi. But if you look at the polling on this, you realize we're now staring down two polls we'll get to in this hour, CBS and the New York Times, neither of which is Mar-a-Lago Monthly. They hate Trump, and they show Trump opening up a very big lead, meaning beyond the margin of error, against Joe Biden.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Which is why so many people on the left are so upset that they couldn't take Trump off the ballot in Colorado. Okay? Think about what's going on here. They are literally trying to bar you from voting for your preferred candidate. And why are they doing that? Because they don't think they can win this election straight up. And here's the third caveat. Okay? When the Republicans win, if they do in fact win the general, every single Democrat is going to tell you the election was stolen.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
I just want to be on the record as saying so now. They are going, if the Republicans win, they're going to tell you it was stolen. They're going to tell you it was Russia. They're going to tell you it was the Klan. It was the transphobes. It was the climate denier. They all got together because they want you to die. That's what they're going to do because this is what they're down to. Okay, they told you democracy was on the ballot. We can't have Trump. Democracy's on the ballot. He questioned the legitimacy of the 2020 election. He said it was rigged. And just because we said it was rigged in 2016 and opened up a $33 million investigation started by our own opposition research in the Clinton campaign doesn't mean we shouldn't ban him from the ballot for doing exactly what we did. Okay, that was the argument here. You can't have him on the ballot in Colorado because this is a man who engaged in insurrection.
Wrong.
Okay, is Donald Trump being charged with insurrection?
The answer would be no.
Answer would be no. Which means, has he ever been convicted of insurrection?
The answer would be no.
Answer would be no. Are there future plans to charge him for insurrection?
The answer would be no.
No. So they were trying to ban him from the ballot. And to do so, they were using the justification was a crime that he's not being accused of legally.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
It's called a scam. And the scam blew up in their face today. And this is a win for everybody, including Democrats. And I want you to know something. As they get on TV tonight and delegitimize the court. Oh, this is why you got to stack the court. These activist judges. Trump put these cronies on the court. Now they gave him a free pass. The guy's ruining everything. There's only one small problem. The liberal justices agreed.
Oh, wow.
So are we now to believe that the people Biden and Obama appointed are also somehow Republican activists?
Don't be thick, all right?
Of course not. But they're not going to acknowledge that on the left. And that's the scam of this moment. Everybody. And I mean everybody on the left who's telling you they're just looking out for stuff. No, you don't understand. Just looking out for our democracy by banning our opponent who happens to be leading in all the polls. No, we're doing this for you. You don't understand. We're looking out for you because democracy wouldn't be on the ballot if we weren't just, you know, out there looking out for you. Okay, and what is their other argument? Well, if Trump gets in, he's, you know, back on the ballot. It delegitimizes our elections, which, of course, it's the antithesis of such a thing, okay? Being allowed to vote for whoever the hell you want to vote for is the very essence of why we have a constitutional republic, okay? In theory, it is not a democracy. So if there's anybody listening to this show on a technical level, losing their mind, going, it's not a democracy, Jimmy. Yo, I get it. But if you came to the show for a high academic standard, okay? The joke's on you.
Tell them like it is.
I'm pretty upfront that I am the most flawed individual you've ever heard on a nationally syndicated talk show, okay? My superpower being the fact that I don't have any, just a regular dude. But all of those people, whether they were protecting democracy or warning you that, you know, if we get this Trump guy in there, it's going to destroy faith in our institutions. That's what they told you. You can't have Trump be president. He's going to destroy faith in our institutions. Now, they're literally telling you with a straight face, your Supreme Court is compromised. I got to be honest with you. That kind of questions the legitimacy of our institutions. Okay, if you're really concerned about maintaining faith in our institutions, maybe you stop attacking them yourself.
I think he's got a point.
It's all projection. It's all projection. Okay, here is, okay, Shannon Bream, our chief legal analyst, giving you the what's on what actually happened, clip 10.
What we have from the court this morning is this decision in favor of President Trump. They essentially say the judgment of the Colorado Supreme Court that he could be kicked off the ballot in this manner does not stand, has to be overturned. Now, it's a per curiam opinion, which the Latin for that is sort of the court speaks. It's supposed to be sort of a unified voice. But we do, as I'm looking through here, have some additional folks who wrote, Justice Barrett, and I believe Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, they write concurrences as well. So they may have gotten to this in a different way, but I don't see any dissents here. So it sounds like the court as a whole is agreed that whatever happened with Colorado, it was not—
right there. Yep. So did you hear Shannon Bream? So it sounds like the court as a whole is agreed that whatever happened with Colorado is not the proper framework to use here. What does that mean? It means what was going on in Colorado was a scam. Scam. Okay, the liberal justices agreed. This is not Trump's right-wing cronies. They did him a favor. Okay, here is CNN, Jim Acosta, with a straight face, saying Trump played the justices like a fiddle.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
Listen to this, clip 12.
Victory lap from the former president being taken right now. He says, big win for America. With me now is former Trump White House lawyer and CNN legal commentator Jim Schultz. Jim, your reaction to all of this, and it seems as though Trump, whatever you want to say about him, has sort of played the legal system like a fiddle over the last couple of years. He's thrown the kitchen sink into the gears of America's judicial system, and it's panned out for him just about every step of the way.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
That's Jim Acosta with a straight face saying that Trump, okay, he wanted these indictments with a straight face. No, Trump played the legal system like a fiddle. Okay, he sat down over the last couple of years. He's throwing the kitchen sink into the gears of America's judicial system. Hello, as if Trump has been out there indicting himself.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
That's the Jim Acosta summation of this. Well, what it really comes down to is this is a guy, Donald Trump, who knows how to play the justice system like a fiddle. That's what he just said.
CNN is the worst.
Okay, the reason we're in this position, okay, where Trump is having the entirety of the Supreme Court side with him is not because he played them like a fiddle. This was not Trump's idea, okay? Trump didn't say, hey, if you guys could throw me off the ballot in Colorado, I'd really appreciate it. Then copycat it in Maine and Illinois. That'd be great. Okay? The reason we find ourselves at this junction is because activists at lower court levels are trying to interfere in our elections by banning the leading candidate in the race.
That's not right.
And even liberal justices were able to recognize that this was a scam. Okay, that's why we're here. Him saying, oh, they played the, like a, come on, stop it. In the next break, I'm going to give you a similar reaction. I'm going to play you a clip from The View.
No, God!
No, we're going to do it. Okay, because this to me is hilarious because it's one of those days where it really exposes the people on the other side for just how full of it they are. They told you they were protecting democracy and our institutions by removing Trump from the ballot. Okay, number one, that does not protect democracy. It kills it. But number two, if Trump's a threat to our institutions and you're bashing them yourself, okay, then you're guilty of everything you're projecting onto the Republicans. Okay, but that's what we need to talk about today. Because at the end of the day, and this is everything you need to know, everything you need to know, the goal here is to do what? It's to win the 2024 election. Okay, so if you find yourself this morning really upset that your opponent is going to remain on the ballot, okay, your problem is not the Supreme Court. Your problem is your own nominee.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
It's America's number one radio lunch date.
Get your hands out of my fries.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Buy your own damn fries.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Just laughing at the reaction on the left over Trump being allowed to remain on the ballot in Colorado. The Supreme Court voting unanimously, meaning every Republican and every Democrat. But of course, that doesn't pass the sniff test with Whoopi Goldberg. But if you've ever worked on the set of The View, you know nothing passes the sniff test around Whoopi Goldberg. I know it's juvenile, but the story about her farting on the stagehands will never not be funny to me. Anyway, here's Whoopi having a gas yet again talking about Trump. Clip 13.
The Supreme Court has just ruled unanimously that Colorado courts cannot keep you-know-who off the state's ballot for engaging in insurrection, finding that a state cannot make a call that could have a national impact on a federal election. Of course, unless it's about a woman's right to choose, but let's not get into that.
That's wrong.
What do you all think of this? I mean, is anybody surprised by this decision?
No. I actually think it was the right decision to make because it would have, you know, if Colorado had been allowed to do that, we'd have this chaotic sort of process where you have 50 states and some are choosing to put him on the ballot and some are choosing not to put him on the ballot.
I admire your honesty.
It's one of two compliments you'll probably hear me give Sonny Host in the next year. I don't know what the other one will be. But Whoopi Goldberg tried to frame this, okay, like this is somehow a bad thing, and she tied it to abortion. Oh, of course, the Supreme Court didn't mind when it came to a woman's right to choose. Guys, just so you understand, the Supreme Court didn't weigh in on a woman's right to choose. When the Supreme Court repealed Roe versus Wade, they sent the issue back to the states, where each individual state would have its own right of determination.
He knows what he's talking about.
And as I said then, and can continue to say now with 100% accuracy, it wasn't going to ban abortion because when you give it back to the states, it means the liberal states are going to have abortion. The conservative states are going to have a limited access to abortion. But at the end of the day, it's going to continue. OK, so they lied when they said abortion was on the ballot and the Supreme Court just took away your right to choose. None of that was accurate. But when she talks about the Colorado courts cannot keep a guy off the ballot for engaging in insurrection, that's not accurate. OK, why can I say that it's not accurate? Because he wasn't charged with insurrection.
Bingo.
Okay, it's one thing if they refused to take him off the ballot because he was charged and convicted with insurrection. But in this instance, there's no charge, there's no conviction. So this would be like keeping somebody off the ballot for the equivalent of something they did in your dream. Okay, that's what we're now dealing with. Okay, banning Trump has always been a fantasy, nothing more than nothing left of the Democrats.
That's true. That is true.
There it is, Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. I was letting the Blink-182 roll. It's an homage to my man Jim Polito up in Boston. Had me on his show last week to promote my gig at the Schubert Theater May 18th. And I had told the Blink-182 joke on his show. And he goes, "Will you just listen to my bumper music?" And I was like, "No, I had no idea. It was just a throwaway joke. I had nothing to do with anything." But Polito, if you're listening... we are brothers in arms. That is a Blink-182 that, Josh, can you attest, has been in our rotation for 3 years, probably, right?
Just completely random, yeah.
Yeah, there it is. So there you go, Polito. No, there was no plan. If you listen to the show enough, folks, it's pretty obvious that we're not really putting a lot of front-end preparation into what we do.
That is correct.
Like, the staff is. These guys are, you know, cutting audio and rounding up news stories and stuff. They're doing the adulting. You know, I just kind of show up. I'm like a childhood star. Like, they just lead me from set to set and, like, push me in the room at 12 o'clock and shut the door behind me. That's all it is. But as we sit here right now, we're monitoring the situation down in Mar-a-Lago, where Trump is expected to speak live on the Supreme Court victory that he was handed today. Trump, if you're just joining us, allowed to remain on the ballot in Colorado. Here is Donna Edwards over at MSNBC. Saying SCOTUS shouldn't be interfering in the middle of the election. Now, if she means this the way she should mean this, this is a good clip. But let's hear it out in its entirety, and I will give you a candid reaction because I've previewed none of it. Clip 14.
Well, I think this court is exactly where it doesn't want to be and doesn't need to be, and that is right in the middle of an election. Not since Bush v. Gore have we seen a court that's had this many opportunities to interfere in the election going forward. Look, that said, I think that this campaign is going to come down to whether voters want to choose somebody who either is facing criminal conviction or is convicted of a crime, and whether or not they want to preserve democracy. Those are really going to be the choices.
Oh, shut up, woman.
Okay, she kind of took a wrong turn there. It started out okay. She's like, I think the court, you know, is where it doesn't want to be and doesn't need to be. She's correct on that. The court doesn't want to be deciding a high-profile presidential case in the middle of an election. And yes, they don't need to be there. If it's made it this far down the road, the voters should be able to decide. And why do we know that to be true really quickly? Okay, everything they're trying to remove him from the ballot for doing, okay, meaning January 6th, happened 3 years ago. 3 years ago. Why do I bring that up? Because if they really thought this was a legitimate effort to get him off the ballot based on a warranted removal from the ballot, they could have charged him and taken this approach 3 years ago.
Bingo, man, bingo.
So when they do it now at this late stage where the voting has already started in the primaries,
this is politics as usual.
Totally. Okay, it's all it is. Okay, the fact that Trump is now, they're trying to bring charges. Like, think of the Stormy Daniels story. Stormy Daniels, okay, if you're familiar with the story, Trump slept with a porn star back 2 years before the 2016 election. He slept with a porn star.
Oh, yes, I've read about that in the Bible.
But the point is, the payoff was made before 2016. The fact that they're just bringing a charge all these years later means it's a scam. Trump might even tell you so, because here he is speaking now at Mar-a-Lago.
And they worked long, they worked hard, and frankly, they worked very quickly on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now. Extremely important. Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's the leading candidate, whether it was the leading candidate or a candidate that was well down on the totem pole. You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that, and the Supreme Court saw that very well. And I really do believe that will be a unifying factor, because while most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons. They didn't want that because of poll numbers, because the poll numbers are very good. We're beating President Biden in almost every poll. New York Times came out yesterday with a very big poll for us. So they didn't like that, and you can't do that. You can't do what they tried to do. And hopefully Colorado, as an example, will unify. I know there's tremendous support. They brought our support up very strong in Colorado, because people in Colorado thought that was a terrible thing that they did. And while we're on the subject, and another thing that will be coming up very soon will be immunity for a president, and not immunity for me, but for any president. If a president doesn't have full immunity, you really don't have a president, because nobody that is serving in that office will have the courage to make, in many cases, what would be the right decision, or it could be the wrong decision. It could be, in some cases, the wrong decision, but they have to make decisions, and they have to make them free of all terror that can be rained upon them when they leave office, or even before they leave office. And some decisions are very tough. I can tell you that as a president, that some decisions to make are very tough. I took out ISIS, and I took out some very big people from the standpoint of a different part of the world, two of the leading terrorists, probably the two leading terrorists ever that we've ever seen in this world. And those are big decisions. I don't want to be prosecuted for it. Another president wouldn't want to be prosecuted for it. It had a tremendously positive impact. It stopped everything cold. And sometimes you have to make those. They were tough decisions. Sometimes you have to make decisions like that. When you make a decision, you don't want to have your opposing party or opponent, or even somebody that just thinks you're wrong, bring a criminal suit against you, or any kind of a suit when you leave office. I have that right now at a level that nobody's ever seen before.
He's right about that.
Rogue prosecutors, and I have rogue judges. I have judges that are out of control. And it's a very unfair thing for me, but I'm serving perhaps as a sample to others of what should not be happening when you make good decisions. And in my case, the economy was great. We didn't go into any wars. We totally defeated ISIS. We provided the largest tax cuts in history. We provided the largest regulation cuts in history. But think of it, no wars. We beat ISIS 100% of the caliphate. Then there were no wars. We did a job that was great, but maybe I wouldn't have done that. The caliphate, defeating them, was very powerful. It was going to take 4 years. It took me 4 months, but it was a very strong dictum that I gave. I said, get them, defeat them, end it. We were fighting for 20
this
years
is Trump
against
speaking
ISIS,
off the cuff at Mar-a-Lago, if you're just joining us, on the Supreme Court's decision to allow him to remain on the ballot in Colorado. It really is jarring to watch someone just extemporaneously speak when you realize the guy that's currently in office isn't allowed in front of a camera without a notepad, and he screws that up anyway. It's like, it's actually jarring as I'm sitting here watching this, because I've had 3 years of the Biden theater, and it's a failing theater, sadly. But let's hear a little more of Trump.
You'll be president. It'll be a wonderful thing, and you won't do anything because you don't want to be hit by your opponent or hit by somebody else, because who wants to leave office and go through what I've gone through? I'm being prosecuted by Biden, my opponent, because every one of these things, whether it's Fannie Willis or Bragg, these are local and state, but they're in total coordination with the White House. You can't do that. It shouldn't be done. I mean, a thing like that, in the case of the DA's office, they put one of the top people, maybe the second person, in the Manhattan DA's office to get Trump. They had a Hillary Clinton lawyer leave the law firm, very prestigious, big law firm, leave the law firm to go into the DA's office to get Trump, Pomerantz, Mr. Pomerantz. So he goes in to become a prosecutor, worked for the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton, goes in to prosecute Donald Trump at a local level, in total coordination with the Department of Justice, meaning Biden. And then you have the Fannie Willis, or as she would say, Fannie, F-A-N-I, but Fannie. And she hired somebody, knew the person long before this horrible prosecution took place. And she went out and she paid him an unbelievable amount of money, more money than he ever had dreamt possible, much more money than other people that are that do that for a living. He never did it at all, had no experience in it at all. And they had obviously a conflict. We don't have to go into that, but they were able to get a lot of money because it was a high-profile person. Me, I'm a very high-profile person. So they were able to pay him close to $1 million when he was not equipped to do the job, and she's not equipped to do the job, and that case should end immediately. That case is so conflicted, nobody's ever seen anything like it.
This is Trump going in on the Fannie Willis case.
Jack Smith, who's a Trump hater and represents all the Trump haters, and he's going wild. He's just a wild man. He's been overturned unanimously by the Supreme Court. Went after other people over the years. He's had great failure. But he's mean, he's nasty, he's unfair. And the judges on these cases, they're all Trump haters. Other than we have maybe one or two that I think can be fair. But you look at New York, what's happened. I mean, these people have tremendous hatred. You can't do this to a president. And again, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about in the future.
He's making a really good point here, Josh, if I could talk over him for a second. Making this about all presidents makes this appeal seem a lot more reasonable. One thing I just want to be clear with you that Trump is talking about is he's conflating the decision to attack ISIS with the reason they're actually trying to prosecute him, which is his efforts in the aftermath of the 2020 election. Okay, one is not the other. They're not proposing that you would, in fact, prosecute a president for some type of action he took on behalf of the country, per se. But I think Trump's nuanced take here, and it's worth mentioning, is that if a president does think an election is legitimately illegitimate, he does have a right to look into it. As bothered as you might be by Trump's behavior and rhetoric in the aftermath of the 2020 election, he's not without that right. And if there's one thing you learned during the 4 years of Trump's presidency, it was that the Democrats would literally attempt anything to get him out of office. I mean, the Mueller probe was completely made up based on Hillary Clinton's letter to the FBI that they submitted themselves as a campaign. So you understand that was a soft coup attempt. So he's not wrong. But we continue to listen to Trump. Here's a little more Trump.
And deranged Jack Smith, what they should be doing is fighting violent crime.
And there you go. The rodeo is over on MSNBC. They finally broke away from the coverage, probably with a justification that he's lying. CNN, to their credit, is still taking the presser right now. And we'll continue to take a little more. Here we go.
Prosecutors and judges to go after your opponent, to try and damage your opponent so you can win an election. Our country is much bigger than that. The other thing I say to President Biden, close the borders now. This is not sustainable for our country. It's not sustainable for our cities. Our country is under siege. This is a violent thing that you've done. And many people are dying. Many, many people are dying. They die on the trip up. They die going through the border. And they die in our country. But many of the people coming up are from prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums. Many are terrorists. You see it. Many, many are terrorists. And I believe the real number that we have right now is probably closer to 15 million people. And by the time the term ends, I believe the president's term ends, I believe you'll be at close to 20 million people. That's almost larger than any state in the union. Our country, it is not sustainable. Many of these people are tough. Many of these people are bad. They come from some of the roughest countries in the world and some of the roughest prisons. We have prisons in the Congo, in Africa. coming. We have people coming from all parts of the Middle East.
Democrats are going to call this racial gaslighting.
You have to stop. 100%.
Why is he only talking about the countries with brown people? Why is he only talking? I mean, that's what they're going to do. But do you understand the point this man's trying to make? Josh, just give me the mic because we're going to run into a commercial break anyway. We'll come back to Trump in a second, you guys. But this is the challenge of the moment you find yourself in. The people on the left will hear what Trump is saying. Oh, he says they're criminals down in the Congo. Okay, but the reality is they are. Sadly, and it breaks my heart to say this, we've got a dead college student down in Georgia. We've got a dead 3-year-old kid up in, where was that, Rhode Island? Really heartbreaking stuff, okay, happening at the hands of migrant criminals that have been allowed into this country under Joe Biden. The way Trump describes migrants, okay, might not be ideal if you're trying to win like Miss Congeniality, but if you're trying to keep the country safe, okay, he's the only option on the ballot.
You are correct, sir.
The critics have spoken.
Well, that was different.
Yep, lousy, but different.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America, with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. Trump's still speaking. Let's get a... he walked off! Come back from break, and Trump walked away.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Unbelievable. I kid. Well, the Trump man, to recap, took the podium at Mar-a-Lago to spike the football, a well-deserved spiking of the football, over the fact that the Democrats' attempts to ban him from the ballot in Colorado. Supreme Court voted 9-0. Very important that you hear that part. Here is Shannon Bream making a very key point that you're not going to hear on any other channel about who gave Trump this victory. Clip 11.
They concur in the judgment, but they say they don't think the court should have gone to all these additional questions that they did. They said it was enough, and Justice Barrett said in her concurrence, too, just to get to the bottom line that states cannot do this. It's not in their purview to do it. The concurrence that comes from Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson takes a different path. They think the court goes too far. They say this, by resolving all these extra questions, the majority attempts to insulate all alleged insurrectionists from future challenges to their holding federal office. So they feel like the court went too far. You try to go as narrowly as possible. Again, they agree with the overall decision, but think that the court is trying to give too much cover to future candidates who may face this scenario, and they just don't think the court should have gone those extra steps.
Okay, so to be clear, the liberal justices, the liberal ones, you know, the ones appointed by the Democrats, those guys, the liberal justices, okay, they sided with Trump. That's significant, because on the other channels tonight, what are they going to tell you? Oh, the Trump-controlled court did him a crony favor. They looked out for Trump. That's what they do, okay? But understand, the Trump court, okay, is still up against it when it comes to the liberal dissent, because the liberal dissent referred to him as an alleged insurrectionist. A fact that remains untrue. Why? Because the guy isn't getting charged with insurrection.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. We are back in action for a big hour, grown-up hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla, a show that is open to anyone who wants to be a part of it.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. All are welcome. It's a good old-fashioned American talk show. Remember those?
Freedom!
That's what we're doing. Doesn't matter. You agree, disagree. I don't care. I'm a conservative. Unapologetically so. But I'd love to talk to liberals on this show. In fact, I do talk to liberals quite a bit on this show because that's what America is about, the free exchange of ideas. Okay, at the end of the day, all of these liberals conceivably should be looked upon as teammates because when push comes to shove, we're all on the same American ball team. Offense, defense, doesn't, special teams, doesn't matter. Okay, not everybody, of course, looks at it that way. There's a lot of people in our politics that look at the other side as like their mortal enemy in this moment. We're learning as the Colorado Secretary of State reacts to the news that the Supreme Court has allowed Donald Trump to remain on the ballot. I'm going to play you a clip here, okay, from Jenna Griswold. And she's the person, she's the woman who attempted to take Trump off the ballot in Colorado. Now, what you need to know about Jenna Griswold is she's trying to cite the 14th Amendment as a grounds to remove Trump. The 14th Amendment, of course, says that anyone engaging in insurrection against the government is not fit to lead said government. Now, to be clear, I agree with that. Where we're unclear, okay, is how they came to this decision. I mean, part of me thinks it was their emotions. Part of me thinks it was desperation. But was any of it based in law? Why do we know that? Because Trump is not being charged with insurrection.
That is correct.
He's not being criminally charged with insurrection. He was not prior charged with insurrection. There is no plan in the future to charge him with insurrection. But to take it a step further, they're using the events of January 6th, 2021. Meaning if they really thought this was a legitimate entity, they could have indicted him or put this forth every day after January 6th, 2021.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
This charge could have come January 7th, 2021, January 8th, January 9th. This could have came any day of 2022, could have came any day of 2023. The reason it didn't come until all the way up to the election is every single one of these attempts to get Trump are not about convictions in the court of law. They're very much about convictions in the court of public opinion. They want stuff hanging over the guy's head. That's the argument. Look at all the chaos this guy brings, with no regard for the fact that they're the ones bringing the chaos.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
That's the argument. It's the same thing with Nikki Haley, okay? Nikki Haley's still in the race. I believe someone has convinced her that the votes she gets in the primaries are transferable to Dancing with the Stars when she winds up there next. I don't know the answer. But Nikki Haley's another one of those. You know, it's just chaos with Trump. And it is. It is just chaos with Trump. But understand the chaos is being brought by the Democrats.
Correct the mundo.
Okay, Trump didn't say indict me 91 times. Okay, for crimes that you're alleging, I committed 3 years ago. The fact that they waited until an election year to do all of this tells you it very much is lawfare. Not warfare, lawfare. They're using the legal system as a means of kneecapping an opponent. And to be clear, Trump is racking up massive legal bills, and there are days where he can't be out campaigning. But everybody sees how unhinged this effort is but the Democrats. So when Jenna Griswold gets out there and speaks in the clip I'm about to play you, you don't understand the stunning lack of self-awareness this woman possesses, okay, to say what she's about to say. This is the point I make a lot about politics. The reason Democrats are welcome here, the reason I do an Everybody Calm Down show, that's actually the name of my stand-up tour, Everybody Calm Down. That's what it's called. Just calm down. You live in the greatest country in the world. You do. Okay, but when you're doing things from a place of emotion, it denies you self-awareness. Self-awareness that would otherwise inform you, motivate you to ask yourself, hey, do I sound like a moron right now? Do I sound crazy? Does this make no sense to anyone but me because I'm all worked up? Because when it comes to Trump, that's where a lot of liberals find themselves. They do hate the guy with all the fiber in their being. These are people who run on self-righteousness. So the fact that Trump gets out there and uses language that's less than perfect, the fact that Trump gets out there and just annihilates some of their policy positions with fact, and they resent him for that because there's no response to fact. You know the old adage, when you have the facts, pound the facts. When you have nothing, pound the table. The Democrats pound the table on Trump nonstop. But when it comes to having actual facts on their art, and I say that why? Because they're trying to ban him from the ballot for insurrection. And the fact remains, he was not charged with insurrection.
You're absolutely right.
But when we get to the point of lacking self-awareness, being emotional denies you the ability to have self-awareness. Jenna Griswold is about to tell you in this clip that she's disappointed they didn't remove Trump from the ballot. Now it's up to the voters to save democracy.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
Apparently she doesn't, or she's being blinded by emotion and hatred for Trump and his voters, because removing someone from the ballot is not protecting democracy. Removing someone from the ballot is flat out killing democracy.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
You don't have to be a genius, okay? Democracy, you vote for who you want. Not democracy. You can't vote for who you want. Listen to this clip.
My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able, under our Constitution, to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act, to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Very good question to ask her. Ultimately, it'll be up to our voters to save democracy. Guys, just to be clear. Okay, because it's a manufactured hysteria. I don't care who you vote for. It's not my job. I'm a talk show host. I'm going to go home and hang out with my wife and my dirtbag kid. That's what I want to do today. Shoot something for my TV show, go home, hang out. It's just who I am. When I come on the air, just a guy who will tell you, you know, give you an opinion. You can agree. It just doesn't matter. Okay, but I'm not here to steer the way you vote. I'm not. I don't want to be in charge of that. I don't see that as the media's role. I feel our role is in informing people and entertaining people and giving people of all persuasions a forum where they can feel heard and considered, regardless of whether or not we agree. That's my job. Okay? But when this woman says something like an oath-breaking insurrectionist, understand she's lying. Okay? He is not being charged with insurrection. Why do I make that point again and again and again? Because in the Democratic mind, they expect compliance. They expect you to see it their way, despite the fact that they're factually wrong. Okay? If the guy is not being accused of insurrection, but they keep calling him an insurrectionist over and over and over again, it's because their emotions are their facts. They're trying to create a perception is reality type of world where we're all forced to agree to their worldview that Trump committed a crime he's not even being charged of.
They're crazy.
It's not even that they're crazy, they're stupid because their emotions have gotten the best of them. Okay, this whole thing begins and middles and ends on the crime of insurrection that he's not being charged with. You can't take someone off the ballot and use a crime as justification if they're not being charged. But that's exactly what they're doing. So when she says, it's now up to the voters to save democracy, just let me be very clear about this manufactured hysteria, because it's a manufactured hysteria. January 6th, which was really bad, I covered it on the air in real time. And I said, hey, man, you can't do that. You're not, if you're storming the Capitol, you're not a Republican, you're just an a-hole. Get out. Can't do it. Okay, I was condemning political violence way before it became trendy. In the summer of 2020, when the BLM riots caused $10 billion in property damage and killed 42 people, Democrats had nothing to say. This is, you know, show me where a protest has to be peaceful. It's right there in the Constitution, but moving along. Okay, fiery but mostly peaceful, as CNN described in the greatest chyron in the history of cable news. A fiery but mostly peaceful protest. The Titanic was watery, but mostly dry. I mean, this is, you know, let's be clear, guys. There's 4 days the Titanic was dry as a bone. It's really only that fifth day that things got a little watery. So technically speaking, CNN would describe it as watery, but mostly dry. But that's who these people are. Fiery, but mostly peaceful. It's on fire. People are dying. But once you get past that, it's a peaceful day. Okay, understand, what they did beyond January 6th was repurpose what we all saw with our own eyes. We did see a protest get out of control. Okay, were they trying to overthrow the government in that moment? No, they didn't have weapons. Okay, you're not overthrowing the most powerful military in the world with no weapons. They weren't there to kill people, although one of the Trump supporters did get killed, Ashley Babbitt, unarmed, shot in the throat by a Capitol Police officer. But understand, in the aftermath of January 6th, they tried to repurpose it as a deadly white supremacist insurrection. That was the agreed-upon narrative, as if they were all white supremacists and they were trying to overthrow the government because they wanted to create some type of, I don't know,
some type of racist fiefdom or something. I don't understand it, but this is the narrative the media went with. Why? Because that manufactured hysteria gets people emotional. We live in an era where people's emotions are their facts. A lot of them are. Perception being reality. They tried to wipe out Trump once and for all by saying, hey, this guy inspired a deadly white supremacist insurrection. Now, they weren't storming the Capitol because of anyone's race. They were storming the Capitol because they didn't think the election was legitimate. To be honest with you, most of us don't think the election was legitimate because we voted in such an unprecedented manner in which we had never voted before. OK, they upended the rules of engagement in the weeks leading up to an election, which appears a little fugazi to a lot of people. I don't have the proof, but I also don't feel bad saying I have my suspicions, if only because the other party spent 4 whole years emphatically telling us that not only was the election stolen, but Vladimir Putin controlled our government from outside.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
But that's what they went with. They spent 4 years. Not only is the election stolen in 2016, we don't even control our own government. That's what they told us. So you understand, if you have doubts about the 2020 election, like, you know, you've every right to have them, and you don't owe these people your consideration in the sense that you should be, like, intellectually ashamed or self-conscious based on what their opinion of you might be, because they're going to hate you whether you take their side or not. But when it comes to having a free and fair discussion, understand that Donald Trump, when they say democracy is on the ballot, Donald Trump has never, ever, ever proposed ending democracy. Donald Trump has never said no more elections. That's their own manufactured hysteria. You see, in the age of Trump, most of the division in our day-to-day lives stems from the media selling half-truths as facts. When Trump said, you know, build a wall because, you know, I don't believe Mexico's sending our best. They're sending drugs. They're sending crime. They're sending rapists. And the rest, I agree, are good people. Okay, the media narrative became Trump says all Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers.
That is a fact check false.
He didn't say that, but that's the manufactured hysteria. Oh, this guy's a white supremacist. He's going to ban women. He's going to ban immigrants. He never said immigrants can't come. He said they have to come legally. He said it's dangerous if they come illegally. And what have we learned in the aftermath? That it's very dangerous if they come illegally. We have a humanitarian crisis at the border where 30% of the women who cross illegally are sexually assaulted. We have 2 million unaccounted for minors that sadly, a good majority of, not a good majority, but a good percentage of, sadly, one is too many, sadly, tens of thousands of them are being sex trafficked. Sadly. It's horrific. Okay, that's the end result of an open border, a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths. The Democrats want to make the conversation about how Trump characterizes the situation. But I got to be honest with you. You'd rather be alive, okay, and have a president that talks in unconventional means than be dead, but have a president that reads the right words on the teleprompter. And to be honest with you, that's still not a guarantee because Biden doesn't generally read the right words on the teleprompter.
Biden is such a disaster.
Totally. But that's why they find themselves in this position when it comes to Trump. Okay, it's manufactured hysteria. They're trying to manufacture hysteria, okay? They can't run against his economy. It was better than Biden's. They can't run against his border policy. It was better than Biden's. They can't run against his foreign policy. It was better than Biden's. So we're down to, you got to vote against this guy because he's going to ban elections. That's what we're down to. And in the process, they were so concerned about him banning the election, they were trying to ban the election for him.
Democrats are so full of crap.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
A very inventive, troubled comedian.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Andy Biggs, representative of the great state of Arizona, is going to be stopping by to talk about the border situation, which they're really just a mess, a historic humanitarian crisis that we'll get to. But Jerry is in Arizona now, his opening act. Jerry's in Concho. Yo, Jerry.
This is Jerry out in Concho, Arizona. Hey, Jimmy, my man.
Buddy. Good to hear your voice. You know what? I can't hear your voice. We got to... I'm going to have you call back, Jeremy. You got a really bad connection. Sorry about that, brother. We're all excited. We were all excited to get him on the phone, give us an Arizona take. Live radio stuff. Things happen. Guy might have a, you know, you get a bad signal. You don't know what's going on these days with the cell phones. But as we sit here, having this conversation, we're going to be talking to Biggs about the border. Mayorkas was interviewed yesterday about the situation at the border, specifically the horrific murder of Laken Riley, who was, of course, killed by a violent criminal who had prior offenses and should not have been in our country. Okay, guy shouldn't be in the country. Guy should be deported. Okay, but understand, okay, we're being told straight up, okay, that this was, you know, this stuff happens. We're like, wait, that's not, okay, we pay tax dollars for the government to keep us safe. Like, that's the bargain. Okay, and yes, there is a breakdown in the system if someone with violent priors is able to go kill a jogger because he's not in prison. But here's Mayorkas trying to make sense of this for you and pass the buck yet again. Clip 27.
But are you saying there that the federal government had been informed about this individual and the alleged crimes he had committed in those states? Because he could have been deported if that was the case. Was there a breakdown in the system?
So, Margaret, there are a number of cities around the country that have varying degrees of cooperation with the immigration authorities. We firmly believe that we firmly believe that if a city is aware of an individual who poses a threat to public safety, then we would request that they provide us with that information so that we can ensure that that individual is detained if the facts so warrant.
Don't change the subject. Just answer the f***ing question.
Okay, and to be clear, he didn't answer the question. He gave you legalese. Well, different varying degrees of cooperation. Okay, the question was there a breakdown in the system? The answer is yes. An innocent girl is dead because a migrant with a violent arrest record was allowed to roam free because of this border policy.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
They are playing some serious headbanging music here on Fox Across America. And I, to be honest, I don't know that we have a mosh pit going today. It's been a pretty mellow show. But I don't doubt they are banging their heads over at CNN and MSNBC because Donald Trump now allowed to remain on the ballot. Joining us now to help me sift through the hilarity that has ensued. He is a superstar congressman. This is what it says in the intro. He emailed it to me a minute ago. Superstar congressman from the Fighting 5th Congressional District of Arizona. Andy Biggs is in the house. Hello, sir.
Hello, Jimmy. Great to be with you. Thanks for playing the Carpenters right before I came in. That was fantastic.
I know it wasn't the Carpenters, but to stick with this ruse, we have only just begun, Congressman.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Only just begun. So,
well, rainy days and Mondays, my friend.
Well, yeah, they're certainly having one over at the DNC. So this is the funniest thing about today. Okay, Trump is allowed to stay on the ballot. It's everybody who, you know, would probably agree that's a good thing, if only because you're not protecting democracy by taking your opponent off the ballot. That is, by definition, the antithesis of democracy, is it not?
Yes, you begin to smell banana peels when you start doing stuff like that.
It's so silly because what I've watched all morning is people saying like, oh my goodness, you know, this is such a dark time for our country. But I'm like, just no one has self-awareness anymore. I think that's what I've learned.
Yeah, no, it's a total meltdown. And what I'm getting a kick out of is you know, they thought Ketanji there was going to save their bacon. But, I mean, even Ketanji was with it and said, look, the Constitution does not allow that. I mean, here's a guy, he's never been charged. He's never been convicted of anything. But by golly, they hate him so much. They fear him worse than a nuclear holocaust. They really think that Donald Trump is a Satan spawn. And so it can governs everything. This total Trump derangement syndrome, I'm getting a kick out of watching it, but we don't have enough psychiatrists in the country that could help them. And you know why? Because all the psychiatrists are lefties too.
That's funny. Representative Andy Biggs is on the show. You're not wrong about that. When I look out at this situation, though, as I'm doing this morning, you know, what I'm starting to realize is the reason they're as desperate as they are to get him off the ballot is they probably realize they can't get Biden off the ballot. Meaning, you know, they don't see this as a winnable election. If they're trying to take the other guy off the ballot, they don't. You know, if they think Trump is what they believe him to be, they should want to run against the guy, which tells me at their core they don't want to run against him, as you said. But more importantly, they don't have another option besides Biden. Do you on some level see the lawfare as probably a testament to the fact that the Democrats are resigned to their fate that Biden is the nominee?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I think that it took him a long time to realize how disaffected the country was and how bad Biden is.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think you might see a play by the superdelegates because they have that weird thing. If you spend a lot of money, you can buy your presidential candidate, the Democrats, which is a weird thing.
Like payola. Do you remember back in radio back in the day, if you paid the DJ, they'd play your song? That's how the Democratic Party works now. That's funny.
Exactly. I mean, so maybe they think they could buy somebody, but who are they going to buy? It'd be tough to remove Kamala Harris as a potential first black woman president, right? I mean, but she's crazy, and they all hate her. So the next step is, do Gavin Newsom? No, because then you have here is a guy who took a great state and turned it into a toilet bowl. And so then you move on, and then who's left? Michelle Obama?
She don't want to do this.
Why would she want to do it? She's really hypersensitive to criticism, and so she doesn't want to do it. So that means you're left with Joe, who now they realize now he is totally corrupt. The whole Biden family is corrupt. They realize that the border's bad. They realize, look, they keep selling it. The economy's good. Well, then go buy a pound of beef at the store like I did over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So they're in a bind. They've boxed themselves in. And I think that's why you're seeing the meltdown. It's really, it's kind of like that. The epitome is that girl who was, I guess screaming. We could identify her as a woman. Remember her?
She screamed at the inauguration.
Screaming. Yeah, yeah. I think that's the entire left is now doing that.
It's funny. The party has been reduced to a meme, says Andy Biggs, and
that's correct.
You're probably not wrong. It's crazy. I mean, when it comes to the border, what's fascinating is obviously they're taking action because it's an election year. And we know that to be true, if only because the numbers broke a record last year and they broke a record the year before. So the crisis itself is not new. The carnage itself is not new. What's new is their feigned interest. But the question I wanted to raise to you, okay, is, you know, Trump spoke earlier and called on Biden to secure the border immediately. Okay. Biden's argument is, well, I would have secured the border if the Republicans would have just played along with the bill. But to be clear, I just want you to speak to this as someone who's semi-familiar with the bill. This bill was not going to shut the border. It was going to codify leaving it open if you're allowing 5,000 people in a day.
Yeah, that's right. And then certain countries were exempted from that 5,000 total. I mean, so
how is that a thing?
So it's not really a fix. And then they were going to provide amnesty, which when you provide amnesty, that's an additional draw. I mean, what do they think is going to happen? You get 5,000 people and the cartel's going to say, okay, all right, got 5,000. Stop it right there, folks. Mm-hmm. No, what they're going to do is they're going to hide the identification because right now everybody's coming across when you go to see their ID. They're self-identifying. So maybe they're from Mali, but they're really from Mauritania. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I literally, Jimmy, you're going to love this. I literally was down there once. There were 25 guys, about 30 years old, all of them. And they said, we're from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we get a Ukrainian translator on the phone so we could talk to them. Then they say, oh, no, we're from Russia. And wait a second, Ukraine or Russia? And so we get a Russia, and then they come back and say, no, we're really from Ukraine. We really are from Ukraine. How would we know? They toss their ID, and that's the point. It's all self-identification. That's why you can't vet these people.
Yeah, which is, again, if you're listening to this conversation as a Democrat, you might take issue with what we're saying. But if you're listening as an American, okay, you realize this is bad even if you're a Democrat. Meaning this is what's happening at the border, and this is the part I think that is lost in all the political pugilism that we live with in this day and age, is the border is the most central issue there is. because there's nobody that truly benefits from having the level of crime and lawlessness at our border. Although I think the Democrats as a party do try to benefit from it in other ways. And I think that's the problem they're coming to grips with right now, is most people don't prioritize mass migration the way they do as a party. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I think 85% of Americans say it's a huge problem. But here's the deal. Only about 3% of Democrats in Congress think that it's even a problem at all. And that's they're out of touch with their base. They're out of touch with America. 22,000, 21,000 people plus came in the last 3 days across the border illegally. I mean, and they literally will sit there and say, there is no crisis on the border. Biggs, you're a xenophobe. How dare you want to secure the border? What's the matter with you?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm over here playing clips that the actual former head of the Border Patrol says he never spoke to Biden or Kamala once in 2 full years on the job.
Yeah, and here's the thing. In reality, probably didn't want to, but he didn't. I've met Chief Ortiz and talked to them on multiple occasions, but he understood that it was a policy deal. I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm just going to tell you, these guys know it's a policy deal. They could bring it under control immediately. And there's statutory authority for the president, President Biden, to say, we're going to close that border down right now, effective immediately. But they won't do it. Nope. He's not going to do it.
No, because it's funny, though, because not funny, but almost, infuriating, because the politics are more important than the people. You know, if this was created through, executive action, it means this could be ended through executive action. But they don't want to do that, because then they have to admit in a roundabout way that Trump's policies were correct.
Yeah, that's right, and that gets back to my whole thesis on this stuff is they're building these rules, regimes, institutions. The left has taken over all of the stuff in America. It has now been focused on one dude, and it's Donald Trump. They cannot believe that Americans want, I don't know, less inflation, lower energy prices, a secure border, maybe some prestige back in the world. They can't believe Americans want that instead of things like, a transgendered Secretary of Defense or health or whatever. That's where they are. They live in that crazy – and I do mean crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You know it. It's nuts.
No.
They live in that nutty world, and they just can't get what most Americans get.
No, it's true. We're not watching Full Metal Jacket anymore. It's Woke Metal Jacket. That's what we have going on. And it's scary because it's like the military. I always joke about this in my stand-up act. Like, the military has a very specific purpose, okay? They've got to, break stuff and kill people, as the late, great Rush Limbaugh would say. We shouldn't be trying to fit corporate policy into that type of an operation. Because, first of all, I don't agree with it at the corporate level, but I certainly don't agree with it at a warfare level, if only because we're going to be fighting an enemy that has a completely different set of priorities, okay? And that's just reality, okay?
Yeah.
Riding onto the battlefield in a solar-powered tank with a coexist bumper sticker on the back is not going to scare off our enemies. It's just not.
Right. And the beautiful part is they want to have a 10-mile-long extension cord from a solar generator to recharge that electric tank.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine something about this? You're standing there at the front lines of the battle, and it's going to have a whole new meaning when the bugle plays charge. Charge! And instead of running, they're like, I don't know, is there a generator around here? I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, well, think of it this way. When I first, my dad bought an electric lawnmower when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I ran over that thing so many times. I had to splice it. Thank goodness he loved me enough to actually have insulated handles on that lawnmower or lawn tractor. I would have been dead meat. But this is where we actually are as a country, where you have one side that is just so goofy out there that common sense, anybody who's common sense that says, well, the sky's blue. No, not really. Sky's not blue.
Yeah.
Not blue. Let's plug it in. But you're going to see crazy stuff continue to happen as we fall behind China and Russia. Why? Because those guys, when they go to war, they want to kill people.
Imagine
and,
this.
and we want to build a new nation. We want to help you. We're going to put you in rehab. We want to beat this country and put you in rehab. That's what we want to do as Americans.
It's really scary stuff. But you know, listen, as long as they use the correct terminology while they're killing us, I guess I just have to abide it. But I'll be damned if they're going to use the wrong pronouns for their prisoners. It's scary, but this is what we're dealing with, man. It's not good. At least we can laugh about it. It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, you guys are doing a Lord's work there in Washington just by being able to keep a straight face. I always appreciate a minute of your time, sir.
You bet, Jimmy. Anytime. Anytime.
No, Biggs, you're the best. And you got another good intro from the band. I can always tell. This is the truth, man. I can always tell what my staff thinks of a guest by the quality of their intro music. And you may not sense it when you get them on the phone. If Mikey's like, all right, you'll be on in a minute. You know, he's just being Mikey. But the real communication happens in the music. And if you're getting good bumper music, that means you're trending well in the control room. So feel good.
Yeah. Hey, and I'll tell you, your team is professional. Oh. They are totally professional. And it always makes me feel good because I feel like it's a step up from the host.
There it is, Andy Biggs. This is for you.
Get him out of here. Yeah. Get him out.
See you soon, brother. Be well. And a cheap shot at the champ on the way out the door.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
No, ma'am. That's why we like Andy Biggs. Come on, take some shots at the host. That's what we're doing here. God, can you imagine having to take yourself seriously for 3 hours a day? Oh, God, just exhausting. Me and Biggs laugh at a lot of serious stuff because it is, in a roundabout way, a coping mechanism. It's what a lot of people use humor as, a means of taking the power away from their torments for a few seconds at a time. But it really is scary when you think of, you know, how a lot of our military happens to be fighting the wrong battles, how Washington happens to be fighting the wrong battles. You know, their obsession with, you know, inclusivity in the military. As I've told you in the past, the military is the most diverse institute in the history of the world. And anyone who has ever served will tell you that a lot of their firsts came from being in the military. Meaning if you grew up in a rural area, okay, you might have met your first person of a specific ethnicity in the military. Might have met your first person from a specific state in the military. Might have met your first person from another corner of the world in our military, because people come from all over the world, migrate to this country legally. Some of them take great pride in being here and enlist in our military to protect the freedoms that they so cherish. But the military, okay, doesn't have room for bias or discrimination, because in a war, okay, you've never in the history of all mankind heard someone say, cover me, I'm going in. Except for you people. I don't like your kind. The military is the highest level of coexistence, because not only are you integrated with other ethnicities and creeds and colors, but you're counting on them for your very survival. So when they try to start implementing, you know, corporate woke policies into the military, what they're doing is truly fighting the wrong battle.
Everything woke turns to
critics are calling it the funniest show on the radio.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I abuse you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I almost had it.
Is there a character trait of Trump that he doesn't get enough credit for, that we don't see publicly?
Sense of humor.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't get it. I watch these other channels. He throws this stuff out being sarcastic or likes to exaggerate, and they think he's being serious. They take him as if every word is FDR giving a radio address.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
Yeah.
That is Brian Kilmeade on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla talking about his relationship with Trump and little personality characteristics that you might not know of. Goodness gracious. 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of the show. If I'm a little befuddled, it's because I'm trying to make sense of what's going on in the news right now. I can get on the air and pretty much say anything. You know, I spent a lot of time in a taxi. I've picked up beer drinking goats, time travelers, hobbits. You've heard some of these stories on my TV show. You've heard a lot of these stories on the radio. The only thing that ever actually leaves me in a what the hell did I just watch moment is covering politics in this day and age, because there's so many people
that will get in front of a camera now and say anything. And I'm just like, why would you do that? Like, as crazy as a lot of you guys think I am, as weird as you might think I dress on TV, I do question these choices before I go on the air.
You're not telling me the truth.
No, I do. I straight up. I'm like, I don't know. Does this look a little weird? I don't know. Maybe not. You know, I think about it. But when somebody gets on TV and says something like, I don't know, the border's closed or something like that, I'm like, if 8 million people are coming into the country, the border's not closed. But I'm sitting here reading a story that I'm going to share with you in the next hour that takes me even past that. It's about a woman who claims she still has a path to victory in the 2024 general election.
Wrong.
But nobody told her it was wrong. We're going to get into some Nikki Haley, and we're going to talk to Ben Domenech when we come back on Fox Across America.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. Here we go. Here we go. Back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of the shindig. It is, of course, the phone number if you don't want to be a part of the shindig.
You're just another dirtbag.
It's Monday. We're in a pretty good mood. We've been laughing at the fact that the Supreme Court ruled unanimously to keep Donald Trump on the ballot. Democrats releasing a statement in response. It's essentially major league freakouts going down all around the beltway of Washington, D.C. We're going to get into that with Ben Domenech, a Fox News contributor, damn good friend of the program, who is going to be joining us later in the hour. But right now, we'll begin with some you and me time, as I said, at 888-788-9910. I'll tell you, man, I'm in a pretty goofy mood. I just made it to Idaho Falls and Sacramento and got back to New York City in one piece. Despite the best efforts of my seatmate yesterday on my flight home from Sacramento, I met a guy by the name of Steve from Sacramento who really did share an enthusiasm for the bar service there on American Airlines. I mean, this guy was getting after it, and you know, me being stuck in his row, I had no choice but to join him. So we did get a little rowdy on that flight, but I'm back with you today. I'm in a pretty goofy mood, but when I look out at our politics right now, man, this is the dumbest time there has ever been to be alive. Okay, I'm just going to start at the top. I'm going to play a lot of sound. I'm going to get to a bunch of calls. This is where I began the day. I was covering the reality that Trump's allowed to stay on the ballot and all the people telling you that, you know, democracy is on the ballot. They're all mad that they couldn't ban their political opponent, which by the definition would be the antithesis of democracy.
Correctamundo.
Okay, democracy is on the ballot. If Trump is on the ballot, that's democracy. If Trump is off the ballot, that's not democracy.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, but again, that's just the smallest of the small issues. Hypocrisy is pretty baked into the cake at this point in our politics. Okay, but the bigger issue that we're having, you know, when it comes to the go forward in 2024 and how it pertains to a greater good, is that we're not having an honest conversation. We always try to say on this show, let's have a conversation based around the facts. So they tried to pull Trump off the ballot because, according to them, he engaged in insurrection.
Wrong.
Okay, Trump isn't charged with insurrection. He's not going to be charged with insurrection. But to be clear, if they wanted to charge him with insurrection, okay, they could have done so at any point in the past 3 years.
I think he's got a point.
They didn't do it. Why did they not do it? Because they didn't have the goods.
Bingo.
He didn't inspire an insurrection. An insurrection is what they gave January 6th after the fact. We didn't watch it on TV and go, they're overthrowing the government. We watched it on TV and said, what the hell's going on? What is this? This is nuts. This is almost as bad as that stuff we saw in the summer of 2020. Doesn't mean it's okay. It was certainly unprecedented in a lot of ways. Not that we hadn't seen Washington set on fire in the summer of 2020. They attacked the White House so furiously, they had to treat over 100 Secret Service agents who got hit with bricks and rocks. They had to put up an additional fence around the White House because of just how violent the liberal militants were who tried to attack it and get Trump. So for those of us who are just calling balls and strikes, we saw January 6th as a really bad thing. but it was a really bad thing that wasn't new, okay, because we had paid attention in the summer of 2020, sadly. But what they tried to repurpose it as was a justification to ban Trump from future elections and do so by saying that were he to remain on the ballot, that would somehow be undermining the very tenets of democracy. Yeah, because it doesn't square with the truth. So there's two worlds that we're living in right now. One where, you know, people can acknowledge that even the liberal justices agreed Trump should remain on the ballot, meaning this was a unanimous vote. This wasn't a bunch of Trump vote judges said yes and a bunch of liberal judges said no. Okay, this was every single judge on the court said yes.
That's true. That is true.
So when they try to repurpose this as, oh, it's a weaponized court. Okay, this is, you know, Trump's cronies doing his bidding in an election year. That's what they're trying to do. Okay, but the reality is liberal justices sided with the majority. So this is not a weaponized court. This is not an activist court. This is a court that's actually doing its job for once. And for that, we should all be thankful. Okay? But are we all thankful in this moment?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. Okay? So I'm going to play you some of those clips. I'm going to play you some Biden clips, and I'm certainly going to get to the phones. Okay? Batting leadoff, okay, in this hour, Michael is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael!
Jimmy.
Wow, is this the big TV star? Buddy? This is Michael, the big TV star?
Yeah, autographs will be available in the lobby.
So are you giving them away like I do, or are you charging now that you're a big deal?
Yes, I actually charged my wife, but we don't need to get into that.
Whoa! Michael! Gee! I mean, man.
Hey, real quick, on a serious note, if you take something to the Supreme Court and the loony liberal justices vote with the conservative justices, you have just proven yourself to be a silly person. Shout out to Monty Python.
I love that. I love that. Well, yeah, it was absurd. It was desperate. It was destined to fail, which is the good news. But I mean, honestly, Michael, me and you laugh. We have very loose conversations. But has there ever been a dumber time to be alive than right now?
Oh, that is the best way to put it, buddy. But it does reaffirm my support of the Supreme Court. And, wow, they really can't get stuff right, you know. And I mean, this is right. There was no doubt about it. But weren't you scared they were going to mess it up? Well, I was a little scared.
Well, it is. If it was a local court, I would be, because like the stuff they're doing in New York now is ridiculous. But here's my question to you, because you did wear a disguise on the show. Was that so you would not? Was that so you wouldn't be hounded in public going forward?
I told you a long time ago, I've got the perfect face for radio, pal.
Oh, you'd be great.
So, you know, just
you're funny.
But let me tell you, what a banger of a show. Oh, my gosh. When you started talking about sugar milk, my man, this fat little boy in rural Georgia went, he's singing my tune. That's it. Oh, the sugar milk from cereal is the best. Oh, my gosh. Come on.
I said, it's the bong water of childhood. I mean, it's everything.
Yes.
Sugar water. No. And we're talking real stuff here. This is the kind of hard-hitting journalism you're going to get on that show.
And I love the contest. Every week it's a different contest. So I'm sitting there with my wife, and you go, White House or Penthouse? And let me just say, the missus killed it on that game.
Whoa!
And me, not so much.
Well, but let's not forget, you're also playing dumb. I mean, you can't, you know, purport to know the Penthouse girls. Why is Jimmy talking about real estate? This is really surprising, honey. Well played. Well, if your wife got the correct answer, she sounds like a good time. So that's a good tip in the cap to her.
Well, that is definitely a true statement. But what about so many great segments? The jet suit races?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Holy cow! How great is that?
Yeah, what's,
cow,
the whole
man.
Big giant world out there, Michael. There's a whole big giant world. But it was, listen, it's an honor to have a guest this big on the show. We don't get a lot of guests as big as you, so thanks for calling in.
Oh, well, all right, buddy. Hey, and Emily stealing fruit. A news alert.
Yeah. We got to talk about that the next time she's on. The fact that she's, you know, pocketing snacks in the pan. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, my God.
I know. I got to go home. Go ahead.
Hey, how much did you have to lay out for Carmine's to stay open late for you two? Holy cow.
Yo.
That had to be a dollar or two.
Yo, wow. they were great because of, like, they were going to be on the show. Now, this is the funniest thing about that. So we walk across the street because it's right across the street. I sit down with Dre and Di Matteo. We do this little interview. It's a good time. They put out so much food, like you have no idea how much food was on that table. And I had somewhere to be, so I actually had to leave. I didn't eat it. Like, my staff did, like, parachuted in, like it was something from Animal Planet and someone had knocked over a gazelle. And my animal staff, they ate everything known to man. And I got none of it. But I'll be back.
I loved your description. It was just a hazing ritual.
Yeah. It's not food, Michael. It's not food. But you're a big deal.
Buddy, every show, better and better. Keep it up. You're killing it.
Well,
but Jenny Fallon needs her own segment on your show every week. I'm just saying.
All right. Listen, we like Jenny, but you know how I feel about complimenting her. You know, if she gets self-esteem, she's going to leave me. So we need to keep her right in that broken place where she finds herself now. Go ahead.
She won the coveted yellow jacket. I have a feeling a lot of it was about things that didn't happen on the show, but that's okay because the woman is a saint, I tell you, a saint.
But
class the show up. Give her a segment.
I will. She's a saint, but you're still leading a Stop the Steal chant against her winning the yellow jacket. Make up your mind. Michael, we love you, man. It was great to have you on TV too, buddy. I'll talk to you during the week.
Thanks, buddy.
The great Michael. There he goes. And to be clear, Jenny Fallon will continue to be on the show as long as she makes weight. But here's the thing. As we sit here talking about, you know, the ridiculousness of my Saturday night show, the reason it's so ridiculous is the world is ridiculous. That's the point we're trying to make. This is not a time to take anyone in charge seriously. Least of all the president. Here's the president. Okay, they give him a note card on Saturday, and they send him out there to talk about humanitarian aid to Gaza. There's only one small problem. As he's reading off this card, he gets the country wrong twice. Here it is, clip one.
In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others in providing airdrops of additional food and supplies into Ukraine and seek to continue to open up other avenues into Ukraine, including the possibility of a Marine corridor to deliver large amounts of humanitarian assistance.
You gotta do better than that.
That's 0-2 on the country.
Have you ever had a checkup?
Not a mental one, because they continue to tell us, nah, this guy doesn't need a cognitive exam. Just because he gets the country wrong off a note card twice. Give Bill Maher credit. At least he encouraged Biden over the weekend to lean into the age issue. Clip 7.
Instead of trying to refute all the too old to be president slams, Joe must embrace them. Stop with the I'm sharper than ever. Nobody's buying that. Don't try to deny the age thing. Lean into it. Lean in. Lean in like you're eating soup. And just admit it. Say, yes, I'm bad with names, and I walk like a toddler with a full diaper. But I believe in democracy.
Come on, man.
So funny. It's a little more Bill Maher really quick, but something's happening, and I want you to get it really quickly. Okay, Bill Maher was ahead of the curve on the fact that it was going to be okay to make fun of Biden. I want him to give credit for that. Bill Maher did spend 3 years peddling the Russian collusion theory, okay? And he still talks Russia to this day and, you know, attacks Trump in any way he can. Okay, so he's certainly finding religion a little bit late in the service okay, when it comes to distancing himself from some of the far-flung conspiracies of the left. But one of the reasons Bill Maher has been on TV as long as he has is, one, the guy is legit funny. He's very funny. And two, he is a survivor that recognizes when it's time to pivot and distance himself from some of the lunacy coming from the Democratic Party. He doesn't want to live in a world where he has to pretend men can have babies because he has enough self-respect to know that they can't. Okay, he doesn't play along with these charades. He is a survivor. So in addition to being funny, he's also self-aware enough to know that, yeah, you can abide saying Trump's Russian and Putin controls the government and there's enough support for that in Hollywood and you're not really putting yourself in any danger. And there is a plausible deniability to the whole thing in that the media was handing you so many leads on Trump's controlled by Russia that you could just assume of, you know, being misled. Okay, but when it comes to, you know, the Biden thing, okay, the fact that Bill Maher was one of the first guys to start making fun of Biden has certainly emboldened some of the smaller time comedians on the left. You know, Saturday Night Live opened its show by bashing Biden this week. Why? Because it's now permissible in the annals of showbiz in big Hollywood to distance yourself from Joe Biden because they realize he's a historically unpopular president. Which means if you align yourself with a historically unpopular president, by default, you yourself are going to become unpopular. So they make fun of Biden, not just because it's true, but because it's also expedient to do so. Okay, Bill Maher kind of cuts his own path in that regard. But the people who basically, you know, hang out in Hollywood, you know, are not guys who lead the room. They're guys that read the room. Which means the fact that Bill Maher is making fun of Biden and Saturday Night Live is now making fun of Biden means you're about to start seeing a lower level, you know, acknowledgement of Biden's deteriorating condition. If for no other reason than if you don't acknowledge the truth, you're just going to deteriorate with him.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
You're riding around with America's cabbie.
Taxi! Taxi!
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be talking to Ben Domenech in the next break. Batting leadoff in the meantime, Carol Ann's out in Westfield, Indiana. Carol Ann!
Hey, girl. How you doing?
Hey, girl. What's going on?
Well, I have a statement.
Ooh, this is exciting.
It is my understanding that Jenny's friends got her really liquored up one night and took her to a comedy club to see you.
Oh, no. This is the statement? All right, I'm listening.
Yeah. Every time I watch her on your show, mm-hmm. I am more and more impressed with her. She's not only gorgeous, but she's bright. She's witty. Mm-hmm. She's married to you, a.k.a. she has the patience of Job. And you just married way up, girlfriend, and she is amazing.
Carolyn, I will have you know I'm a trophy husband. It's, you know.
That's what your book says.
Well, it's participation trophy. I leave that part out. But it's funny.
I didn't get one of those.
But it is funny. Like, Jenny does really have her fans. Like, she does a good job, though. Like, I you know, and I'm not saying that because I'm married to her, because I don't have to put her on. You know what I'm saying? I put her on because she is good TV.
Oh, she is. And besides, that way you don't have to sleep in the bathtub.
Wow, you really do know a lot. Carol Ann.
Hey, I've been married almost 57 years, and, trust me.
And you make the guy sleep in the bathtub?
Occasionally.
All right. That's learning a lot about you now. Listen. I will pass the praise along to Jenny, but we got to be careful with these compliments because I'm telling you, if she figures it out, like, Jenny doesn't realize how much better she could do in life. So we need to keep her in the space that we have her in right now. You know, it's like, you know how the Colonel had to keep Elvis in check? Jenny is like the Elvis in this relationship. She's the star and I'm just like the face of this thing. But I appreciate you getting it. And tell your husband to get out of the damn bathtub, would you, Carol Ann?
Well, no, actually, he's gone shopping for me today, so that's
I don't know.
One of the reasons.
I don't know what's going on in this house, Carol Ann. All right, we're back with Ben Domenech after this. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. I have just crossed a threshold in life. I'm not like speak to the manager guy. I'm not file a complaint guy. I very rarely partake in the survey. I got ripped off so bad by Delta over the weekend. Like, it's real. I'm actually the guy sitting here right now filling out a survey during a commercial break.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
No, this is madness. They're bringing in the varsity to try to calm me down. Veteran corner man of millions of political battles, a Fox News contributor, a multimedia superstar, battling Ben Domenech, returns to the show. Hey, man.
Hey, man. It's great to be with you, but, I mean... What are you dealing with?
Oh, dude, I'm worked up, Domenech. You were supposed to steer me off the subject. Oh, no. All right, here we go. You want to hear this? Okay.
No, I do want to hear this. I'm passionate about this. Go ahead.
I didn't like light him up on Twitter or anything, and I guess it just dawns on me that I called him out on 165 radio stations. But here's the story, Ben, and this matters, okay? On Friday night, this past Friday, I performed in Idaho Falls. It was at the Colonial Theater, sold out show, great audience. It's fantastic.
I've been in that theater. It's a fantastic theater.
Lovely.
Yeah, that's great.
Filled with gratitude for the experience. On Saturday night, I have a show in Sacramento at the Crest Theater. Okay. With the caveat being that in order to get to Sacramento, I have to start in Idaho Falls, connect in Salt Lake City, at which point I fly over to Sacramento. Okay, you follow me so far?
Yes, I am.
Beautiful. Well, when I get out of bed Saturday morning, okay, there's about a foot of snow on the ground in Idaho Falls. Now, knowing that I have about a 30-minute layover between my Idaho Falls flight and my Sacramento flight, my Salt Lake City flight, I choose instead to...
You act rationally. You respond to this.
I hitch a ride with my dirtbag cousin who drives me 3 hours down to Salt Lake City, okay? In the process of driving, I call Delta and I say, hey, I don't want you to think I'm a no-show for flight one because I don't know if that flight's going to take off 5 hours from now. I can't chance missing my show tonight. So I just wanted you to give the heads up that the first seat is available that I've paid for.
You are doing your best effort to make sure that the people of America receive comedy from Jimmy Fallon.
All right,
which is your job.
The world is on fire. Exactly. The world is on fire. I'm the guy who shows up with the marshmallows to roast on the blaze. So understand, exactly. I take a 3-hour drive down to Salt Lake City. I call them on the way, and they tell me, well, thank you for the heads up. We're going to have to charge you an extra $150, though, because the flight from Delta to Sacramento is more money if you only fly this one-way flight. And I didn't understand.
Well, that seems like BS. I mean,
of course.
No offense, but that's a ridiculous assumption on their part.
So I said, I said, I already paid for the flight. They said, well, if you don't pay for the leg from Idaho, you know, to Utah, if you don't fly, but I paid to fly from Idaho to Utah, so it shouldn't matter whether my butt is in the seat or not. The point is, I paid you. Okay, I paid you.
You paid for the seat. The seat still exists.
Yes.
You paid for it.
So it's $99, and they want to charge a $50 administrative fee. That they wind up pulling a move from the movie Fargo. You know, in Fargo, where the guy doesn't want the true coat on the car.
He doesn't want the true coat.
I've never seen this before. My boss just offered to take $50 off of the true coat, but you're still paying for the true coat. So what they ultimately did is, because I complained, they charged me $99 instead of $150. For a flight I had already paid to take. So lo and behold, I don't care. It's out of my life. I make it to Sacramento, jam-packed show, two-hour meet and greet, wonderful night. I make it back to New York the next day on American, I might add. But this morning, during a commercial break, I'm just sitting here, back to life, back to reality, and I get a survey from Delta asking how they did.
How did we do? How did we do exactly? Well, I have some thoughts. I would like to share now.
As timing goes, this was not good timing on their part. And other than the part with the ski mask where they pointed a gun at me and demanded more money, I thought they did well. It was a good.
Oh yeah, I mean the plane existed; it was there.
What a racket! But again,
no, it's an absolute racket. It's absurd, and we run into these things all the time. Mm-hmm. I know that you, Jimmy, and we have to deal with all these different, you know, hassles that we run across when it comes to traveling around and seeing different people. But it's one of these things where, come on, man. Like, it's just absurd. The level to which they punish us for having to travel the way that we do is absurd. Yep. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, flying commercial in this day and age is just a thinly veiled dominatrix. You know?
Oh, it really is. It really is. But it's not as enjoyable. It really isn't. I mean, come on. You know, like we can admit that, Jimmy. You know, it's one of these things where, you know, like if she wants to like kick me in the balls, you know, it's something where I just feel like we have to deal with this constantly in a way that is absurd and just, you know, takes everything out of us. And it doesn't even have the enjoyment of something like being kicked in the ball. So, you know.
at least put on a leather mask, Delta. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So, I mean, come on. You know, at least offer me that much acceptance. But no.
That's outrageous. We're talking to Ben Domenech. We're talking about scams. I guess it would only be fair to pivot to the great state of Colorado for a quick second. I don't know.
Yes.
Did you?
You want to talk about dominatrixes? You want to talk about being kicked in the balls? I mean, this is what they've gone through here. You know, they have absolutely been punched in the nuts over and over and over again for their ridiculous belief in some kind of constitutional escape passage that would prevent them from having to deal with the potential nomination and, again, presidency of Donald Trump. They are literally, they have gone through this whole period, Jimmy, of being like in total denial about this. And it's absurd. Well, it's like we all know that at the end of the day, the American people are going to decide whether Donald Trump is their president again or not. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to decide. It's a long way away. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things going on. What I do know is all of the different attempts to, like, game this situation, to create some kind of cheat code that will allow them to, like, skip past this, all of that is absolute BS. There is no way that they're going to get around this. And their insistence on trying to do it is absurd. Yeah. It's absolutely absurd.
I've enjoyed watching it, but it's funny. It's a funny visual to think they're playing Contra right now.
Yes.
The Colorado State Legislature.
No, we're just going to put this cheat code in. It's going to be fine.
What's your plan to win the 2024 election? Well, it's up, down, up, down, A, B, select.
They are doing that. They are trying to create, like, draftable characters within NCAA football where, you know, you put the guy in as, like, a fullback.
Yeah.
And you give him amazing
attributes,
passing stats. Exactly. You know, like, and then you draft. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And yet they keep doing it.
So,
look, I mean, the one thing that I will say about this is that their ability to deny what they are trying to do in this moment and say that we are the defenders of democracy. Yeah. We are the defenders of the government. Mm-hmm. And it's all these other people on the other side. They're the people who hate democracy. They're the people who hate the government. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, no, wait. One side here says you should be able to vote on who should be president.
Yeah.
And they're the side that says, no, you shouldn't.
No.
So, like, give me a break with this crap.
The Democrats are literally knocking on your door and going, listen, we have an arson problem in this neighborhood, but to protect you, we're going to burn down your house.
Yes.
That way the arsonist won't get to you. Don't worry about it. You guys are
because your house will be gone, Jimmy. They won't be able to burn anything.
He can't burn it down if it's gone, you guys.
Hey, can I just say something to you? I know I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, but Shane Gillis sold out Radio City Music Hall back-to-back. Cancel culture is murdered. It is dead. It's over.
Yes,
he
it
has
is.
Murdered it. He skinned it. He's wearing it as a skin suit. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And look, you know, I know you are a guy who cares about comedy. The simple fact is that the people who tried to protect comedy from being involved in any way, you know, over the past couple of years with anything along the lines of you know, we got to make sure that this, you know, it's really woke. We got to make sure that, you know, we've got Hannah Gadsby out there, you know, saying, you know, what's going on. She's determining what's funny. They totally lost.
Yep.
They lost the battle, and it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it's we loved it. We covered it at good length when Shane actually returned to SNL, the host, if only because it's the market speaking. The market doesn't want to treat jokes as hate crimes. The market sees jokes as an escape from the reality that we have a lot of crime in this country. You know, that's what comedy is. So in a nutshell, the good guys are actually winning again. But what's funny is the overlap between cancel culture and what they were trying to do to Trump in terms of manufacturing a hysteria and using that as a justification to remove him from the ballot. They're very much steeped in that same tenet, which is weaponize emotions as facts. And it's funny to see it fail. And I got to be honest, Dominich, you did do your job because I laughed during this interview. And I'm freshly removed from being the guy who complains to an airline. I've never done that before. So you came into a bases-loaded, none-out situation, and you got us out of the jam. I'm in a good mood again.
Okay.
You get the Rolaids Relief Man Award. They used to give those out in Major League Baseball.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, absolutely. Okay. I am here for you, my friend.
Ben Dominich, the Dan Quisenberry of talk radio, comes in, throws a couple of sidearm strikes, give me a Shane Gillis curveball. We love it, man. Great hit.
Great to be with you.
See you soon, my man. There he goes, the great Ben Dominich. Covered a lot of ground. I think this interview will be mostly remembered for his summation of commercial air travel and the fact that, in his opinion, it's like a dominatrix, but not as fun. I don't know that Miss Dominich was listening. I hope she wasn't, because he might have just outed himself for all of those suspicious charges on the Amex statement at the end of the month. But I feel bad because I really hate the guy who complains, but I got ripped off so hard by an airline over the weekend. And it's, you know, whatever. At the end of the day, I can find a way to come up with the $99, but I actually got screwed on the way to a show. And it just dawned on me, as a guy who's really just trying to, you know, shine a light on injustice wherever I see it. I am the Three Amigos of radio. Wherever, you know, freedom is threatened, we'll be there, you know, that sort of thing. Well, I was under attack over the weekend by an airline that ripped me off. So I get, you know, sometimes you got to speak up from time to time.
You've got to get mad.
That's all I'm trying to say. Back after this.
The show not afraid to call out both sides of the aisle.
He's the other side's worst nightmare.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Letitia Tyler. Was Letitia Tyler a penthouse pet? Well, the first lady for our 10th president, John Tyler.
John Tyler. I'm going to go first lady.
You're going to go first lady.
Yeah,
you are correct.
Like, yeah? All
you
right,
put
all
Letitia
right.
in the 1800s.
You know what? Because I thought it was a trick question, so I kind of went against what I initially thought.
Okay.
They named white women Letitia back in the 1800s.
My, how the roles have changed.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. That's Jenny Failla playing White House or Penthouse. En route to a victory. She won the yellow jacket on Fox News Saturday night. Laughing. If you missed the show, clips of it are on the Fox Across America website. Go to foxacrossamerica.com. You can see some of the clips. We are, of course, in the process of building out this coming weekend's show. There's been a big clamor to get Lincoln Failla onto the show. We're trying to work that out. We might get to do some playground politics this weekend. There's just a lot happening. A lot of moving parts. Tomorrow is Super Tuesday, where Nikki Haley squaring off against Trump and is expected to lose every state.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
I don't know what's going on. We may get her on later in the week. We may not. Okay, I would like to ask her directly. I talk to Nikki Haley offline and enjoy her. I do genuinely believe she cares about the country and its future. But a clip, she didn't make a lot of headlines, but we thought this was noteworthy. Haley initially took a pledge that she will support the RNC nominee no matter who it is. Now she is a little slightly hedging. Here it is, clip 21.
If you talk about an endorsement, you're talking about a loss. I don't think like that. When you're in a race, you don't think about losing. You think about continuing to go forward. What I can tell you is I don't think Donald Trump or Joe Biden should be president. I don't think that we need two candidates in their 80s. I don't think we want a Joe Biden who calls his opponents fascists or a Donald Trump who calls his opponents vermin. No one wants that. I think people want a new generational leader that is going to go back to what the American dream is, what we want for our kids, in a place that's something that we can be proud of again.
Okay, now she's technically not wrong, but the voters aren't saying that she should be the person who replaces these two men.
That's true. That is true.
That's the small problem. It's like, if you actually looked at the polling, 70% of the country doesn't want a Trump-Biden rematch. But they're not saying, in addition to that, they want Haley on the ticket. She's losing in every state, unfortunately for her. Here's the rest of it in terms of the pledge, clip 22.
You did sign a pledge, an RNC pledge, yeah, to support the eventual nominee. Do you still feel bound by that pledge?
I have always said that I have serious concerns about Donald Trump. I have even more concerns about Joe Biden.
So is that a no? Are you bound by the RNC pledge?
The RNC pledge, I mean, at the time of the debate, we had to take it to where, would you support the nominee? And you had to, in order to get on that debate stage, you said yes. The RNC is now not the same RNC. Now it's
so you're no
Trump's
longer
daughter-in-law.
Bound by that pledge.
No, I think I'll make what decision I want to make, but that's not something I'm thinking about.
Whoa. And to think Trump called her Tricky Nikki. So she says that was a different RNC. Rona McDaniel's gone now. I might be able to back up on this. I mean, what she's really trying to say is, I'm not going to weigh in on who I'll endorse if I drop out, because she wants people to believe she's nowhere near dropping out.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
She might not be. I mean, for all I know. Okay, but the polling doesn't show a path forward. So the only other thing I could propose, which, man, this is going to burn some buns. But maybe there's a stretch. Maybe there's a, I don't see it personally. I do not see it personally, but maybe she's going to be Trump's VP. I don't know. They need a woman. They need someone who can neutralize the abortion issue. Maybe Trump's going to do that thing he does once he's vanquished a political opponent, where he welcomes them into the tent. Okay, he did this with Ted Cruz. He did this with Marco Rubio. He did this with Lindsey Graham. Okay, all guys he annihilated on the campaign trail, and then when they dropped out and endorsed him, he welcomed him into the fold and says, ah, Nikki, she fought like hell. She gave me a hard time, you know, and takes her in and she's the VP. I don't know that you guys support that. In fact, when we did polls on this last week, we took 100 phone calls. She didn't get a single vote. So that's not a good sign if that's the plan. But we will see. It's Super Tuesday tomorrow, and we'll be making some type of a super effort, at least by the low standards with which we've set forth. Until then, the show's over. Pay up. Get out. Be thankful for your American privilege. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform. And watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.